Mike O'Mara Radio Entertainment.
Today's episode of the Mike O'Mara Show is brought to you by our bonus packages. Please go to MikeO'MaraShow.com and click on the bonus banner. You'll get access to all of our bonus content, and even better, you'll be helping out TMOS. So please, quit sucking, and we thank you.
Available on demand every day in iTunes and the Google Play Store, and around the world on MikeO'MaraShow.com. What more can we do for you? It's the Mike O'Mara Show.
Welcome, welcome, welcome to the Mike O'Mara Show. It was 1 year ago that I was getting excited for my pilgrimage to Augusta National Golf Club for the Masters Golf Tournament. One of the greatest experiences of my life. I have to say thank you to everybody that made that happen. Thanks to the guys for covering for me when I went up there. It was so special. And I don't know whether it's because I was in Augusta last year or Tiger Woods is coming back, but I have to tell you, we're going to geek out about golf for a second here, because I'm getting a sense that there's something special going on, and we are delighted to welcome from the Golf Channel's Morning Drive program, Damon Hack is with us. He's the host of Morning Drive. Damon, thanks for coming with us. You're at Augusta. You're on the hallowed grounds right now.
Mike, I am, and I understand how you feel, buddy. This is my 10th Masters, and it might as well be my first. Every time you come here, you get that renewed spring in your step, the gorgeous azaleas and dogwood. And this year, just a plethora of storylines from Tiger to Phil, Rory, Justin Rose, Bubba Watson. It is a special week, and this year it feels like it may be exceedingly special still.
Yeah, I have to say, Damon, and thanks so much for taking the time, because the Golf Channel, for those of you that might be golf geeks like I am, and we rarely do the sports thing on this show, but I am a golf geek. I have to geek out on golf, especially this week more than any other week. The Golf Channel is so all over this, and I'm not blowing smoke just because we've got you on the show, Damon, but as somebody who lives and breathes it, just having your cameras where you have them, showing little peaks of the champions' dinner on the patio, you see, it's like Sergio Garcia's got a glass of red wine. Look at that. I'm watching that right now. It's really, it's just, you guys are, you're feeding your audience, and I hope that your numbers are going to reflect it, because you're giving us out there in golf land what we want. And I know you are a loyal employee. You're not pulling the strings at the corporate level. But I have to tell you, Damon, I love what you guys are doing at the Golf Channel. I think it's fantastic.
Well, it's so kind for you to say. This is our Super Bowl this week. I think if you love this game, this is where you want to be. It's what you want to talk about. And there's a lot to cover. You know, the par 3 contest yesterday, we saw a 68-year-old Tom Watson win. We saw Jack Nicklaus play well, Gary Player play well. We saw Jack Nicklaus's grandson make a hole in one. I mean, magical things happen here. And you know, we have wall-to-wall coverage. You mentioned it. We have the Morning Drive this year live from the Masters. We can't get enough. There are so many things to talk about on and off the golf course, in and outside the golf tournament. We just want to luxuriate. We want to just continue to talk about it. And of course, you know, the golf shots are just being struck today. You know, we've had a lot of preamble, and now we actually have to talk about the tournament itself.
Yeah, let me talk about my experience at Augusta. You know, the first time last year is something I've always wanted to do, an absolute bucket list dream of mine. And I was talking about this to the guys the other day, that the thing about, if you go to Augusta, if you are a golf fan and you go, first of all, you're not a fan. You're a patron. You drop your phones off at the gate when they let you in. And here's what I love about the experience when I was there, Damon, and I think you can probably back me up on this. When adults go to sporting events, they tend to regress a bit. They tend to go back into their childhood. And we're all like little kids. Here's the great thing about the people at Augusta. They treat you like children. You are handled like children. You are disciplined like children. You are not allowed, like you are at every other major sporting event, to behave like a complete ass. and they will throw you out if you do it. And I, you know, and when I was going into that before I was there, I said to myself, okay, it's a little heavy-handed. Okay, you know, let's not be so sanctimonious. But then you get there and you say, you leave Augusta and you say, I just had the best experience I've ever had at any live sporting event, and it works for them. And everybody that experience it seems to love that. Am I right about that?
You're nailing it. Listen, you know, you're not going to hear any shouts of Baba Booey or mashed potatoes. and that's such a refreshing thing. It's just so different here. And listen, that they treat us here like we're invited guests. You know, we come here and we fall in line. You know, the cell phones are left outside of the tournament, and you just kind of take a step back in time. And I tell you what, there are a lot of golf tournaments that would love to copy what they do here, but no one has been able to successfully do it. This place is unique. They do it their own way. It is not expensive once you're on the grounds to buy a pimento and cheese or egg salad sandwich. Everything here is geared for the players to be comfortable, for the media to be comfortable, and for the patrons to be comfortable. And that's why you have waiting lists decades and generations long for people trying to get on the property to experience what is so unique here at Augusta National.
And this, you know, everybody talks, you guys are talking about it on the Golf Channel, about the electricity that is surrounding this and that tremendous media coverage that's there. And I will tell you, though, and I've heard all the commentary. I've watched your show. I've watched Live at the Masters on the Golf Channel. I've watched other sports coverage of it. The fact is, and now I will say this, that Tiger Woods is the storyline. No matter what you say about Rory and anybody else and all the other 20-somethings that are playing in this, you have got a situation where Tiger Woods and the potential for Tiger Woods would be one of the greatest storylines in sports. And you can say everything else you want to say, but this is the guy that makes it all happen. He's done it with other golf tournaments. I really do believe that, yes, the Masters is special, but you throw in the Tiger Woods factor, and that's why this tournament, this particular year, is exploding in popularity, don't you think?
It's so true. And listen, we've enjoyed the last few years kind of introducing these young players to the public, you know, Justin Thomas and Jordan Spieth and Jason Day, Ricky Fowler, Rory McIlroy. But then Tiger comes back, and it's a reminder that he's Elvis. You know, he's Mozart. He is so different and unique that even without having won a golf tournament in 5 years, hasn't won a major in 10 years, the fact that he's playing proves that he's once again able to transcend the game. When you look at the numbers, the websites and the hits they get, the Nielsen ratings, Tiger Woods at age 42, coming off of 4 back surgeries, coming off of inactivity and really challenges, a DUI last year, some personal issues. The fact that he's playing and playing well and healthy and happy, there's no one that the golf fan would rather see than Tiger. These other players are nice, but if we're honest, they're kind of interchangeable parts. They're great young players, but there's only one guy in the red shirt on Sundays, and that's Tiger Woods. It's a feeling that reminds me of Jack Nicklaus toward the end of his career, or Arnold Palmer. Mm. There's nostalgia in the roars for Tiger. There's a yearning for him to turn back the clock, because he is a once-in-a-generation, perhaps once-in-a-lifetime type of athlete.
One of the things I wanted to ask you as a journalist who's out there and on the grounds of Augusta as we speak, you're there now, you did your show Morning Drive from there this morning. They built on the grounds of Augusta the most amazing state-of-the-art media center that's there. How fabulous. Since you've been to multiple Masters, you were there when it used to be in that it looked like that grain silo that they used to shove the
lean-to,
media.
Mike. They called it the lean-to.
Now you're in that state-of-the-art special. And the Golf Channel has these just elaborate sets that they have for you guys. How cool is it working in that state-of-the-art facility that they built for you?
Well, the Ritz-Carlton has nothing on the press building here at Augusta National.
They do it right. They do. They really do.
And the bacon here is tremendous as well. For breakfast, I must say. I mean, it is so beautiful. It is opulent. Everything you need here, from the television sets for every single reporter here. There is a locker room with my name on it, a locker downstairs that I have. I got a key. It is just an incredible facility, and they didn't have to do it, but they have always treated the media well here. But now it's almost embarrassing. I'm too comfortable this week.
You're doing a good job.
We're used to like the more gritty conditions, but I tell you what, we are being pampered this week. I promise you.
All right, let's get to. We know you got a lot of stuff to do. We will let you go and get to your the rest of your job. This is so much fun for me. Let's talk about the nuts and the bolts, because I know a lot of people have a pools going with the Masters. Tiger's a storyline. A lot of you guys are talking about who's going to do it. With your band of merrymakers on the Golf Channel, is there a consensus pick of someone that you think is going to win the tournament this year?
The two names I keep hearing the most are Justin Rose and Bubba Watson. The two guys with great records here. Justin Rose hasn't won here. He has 12 starts here and has never missed the cut. 5 top tens, 2 runner-ups, including last year. And then Bubba Watson, who's won twice here and has 2 wins already this season, one in L.A. and one at the match play. So those are the two guys that are getting, I think, the most run. But I tell you what, there are a few people, including my good friend Mark Cannizzaro from the New York Post, who is picking Tiger Woods. They think his state of mind, state of body, and his institutional knowledge of this golf course will come in good stead for him this week. He's someone who's played well, whether he's been happy and healthy or whether he's come off of inactivity and injured. So he finished T4 famously in 2010 in his first tournament after the scandal. So I tell you what, there are people that think Tiger Woods will win this week as well. The beauty of this week is it's wide open. So many great players at the height of their power. So it's going to be a lot of fun this week come Sunday, especially when they don the green jacket.
And I have to mention controversy because, you know, no matter how pristine the sporting event is, there is always controversy, Damon. I want your comment on this because, it's the Dilly Dilly controversy.
Yes.
with the Budweiser slug line of saying Dilly Dilly and the Masters banning this. Anyone saying Dilly Dilly, the way I understand it, will be immediately ejected from the premises. And my question to you would be, how is the Golf Channel planning on covering this major controversy at Augusta this year?
For fear of losing our badges and being tossed out to Washington Road, none of us will be uttering that phrase you just mentioned. We will smile, and we will do as we're told, like children. So we go full circle of our conversation earlier.
Well, you guys will be all over it and covering it on Morning Drive. You guys do Charlie Reimer. Is Charlie going to be playing any more events? Your cohort on Morning Drive, will he be getting out and trying to play any more senior events when he's on the tour?
He'll be playing next week in Atlanta, working hard on his game after our show. He's hitting some balls at Augusta Country Club as we speak.
Oh, nice. Fantastic. Wow. All right. Well, hey, Damon, if I come up to Orlando from down here in Fort Myers, will you give me a tour of the facility sometime?
We'd be happy to. Love having folks visit Morning Drive. We'll give you a behind-the-scenes tour.
I'll be there. Thank you very much. Damon Hack, great work on the Golf Channel. Thanks so much for taking the time at Augusta to call us on the Mike O'Mara Show.
Anytime. Thanks so much, guys.
There he goes. That's Damon Hack. If you're, unless you're a super, super deluxe golf guy, you wouldn't know Damon. Damon is a guy that covers it, and they have like training, and I'm just geeked out.
I loved his band when I was younger, man. Dynamite Hack.
That's a good one, yeah.
Yes.
I should point out, there are some people that are saying, Mike, you normally just do the fake intro to the Masters on Thursday every year. Well, because we booked Damon Hack before the tournament would start, I am here to tell you that I will be giving that to you tomorrow.
Ah!
And I will take suggestions.
Dilly Dilly.
You know. Now, I know that in the past it's gone to the homoerotic fun. You know, the atmosphere there, not just for the fans, but for media members,
yeah.
It was, oh my God, who is the guy? I'm trying to think of the guy that did it for CBS that said the greens have been bikini waxed and they booted him out there. David Faraday's friend. Oh, my God. Gary something.
Player.
No, not Gary Player. I'm blocking on his name.
Stein.
It's been a long time. So they kicked him out. The media, not only do these guys with the green jackets that patrol the grounds of Augusta, they don't only just monitor the fans, they monitor the media.
It's like sure. Gestapo.
You notice he didn't say, if I was to say that word.
Yeah, I'm not going to say that word.
No, not even jokingly. Dilly.
Go around Dilly. So I will do the irreverent side because it's not lost on me. And they have a new chairman at Augusta, too, that still has that kind of, you know, well, we are just taking it very seriously like that.
Gary McCord, Mike. It's Gary McCord.
Gary McCord.
Thank you.
Gary McCord got booted out. I don't think he's back,
no.
Right? I don't think they let him go back.
I was going to make a request for the Nance monologue, and it could just be a side, like a B-plot.
Here's why I don't want to do the Nance monologue. How long have you been trying to get Nance on the air, and he's blowing us off?
Every week.
How long? How many? Can you take us behind the scenes of the the Rob Spiewak
situation
of Jim Nance, where we try
where that, we are.
Damon Hack was a wonderful guest. Don't get me wrong, but we were trying to get Jim Nance the Thursday before the Masters, and what happened? The dilly dilly is this:
we got a through a mutual friend, we got a fruitcake to Jim Nance for his Christmas party in December.
We had nothing to do with it.
No, we sent them the fruitcake, and so every 2 weeks or so since the fruitcake, I've been emailing them saying would love to speak to him perhaps before the Final Four, before the March Madness,
about a month ago you said you were confident that you were going to get him
because they said it's going to be a tough pull, but it looks like we can do it. And so I've been emailing every week, and it's always the same thing: very busy it's a tough pull. So now
I've got my social media this time.
I'm going to now try for his Masters recap. They've never been this cordial.
No, it's over.
You don't care. And Oscar, if you get involved in this one bit, I will hit you in the nose. So just stop.
No need for threats.
Well, what was it? Every word you say is a threat.
Right, use your words.
Calm down.
Don't get violent.
How funny is it that Oscar's telling me to use words?
Don't
for Christ's sake,
look, boys! Don't
he's
do
melting
it.
Down.
I've got lung matter.
I know.
Tuberculosis is acting up.
All right, got the vapors.
So, I know. Now listen, for those of you, golf. Yeah. Hey, I have my little moment.
Golf all blows. Right? We all know Mike's a fan.
Mike, I love golf. This is the Super Bowl right now. This is the Super Bowl of golf. This is a big deal.
Oscar will be looking in. You'll be looking in.
Of course. I want to see Tiger get back on the horse.
Yeah. Wouldn't it be great if Jimmy Fallon played?
That makes no sense.
It does, actually.
No, it doesn't.
So you want a palate cleanser for that?
Yes.
We have two stinky guys out in the green room, Rob and Joe, and they're going
to
come by.
Ready to rock.
And they're going to be paddling with us after that, and they'll go, oh, man, I hated a golf time, but when Rob and Joe came on, I can practically hear the narrative right now. Okay? Lick it.
That would be a good Jim Nance monologue.
It's just me. It's not an original idea. Oh, thank you, listeners. What a bulletin that was. What, boy, I can't do it now. Just shut up. We're doing It's Just Me. Yeah, thousands of people have done that bit. That bit's been done since the days of when Jesus invented television. Okay, we've done that forever. So stop it. We're doing it anyway. It's Just Me.
Favorite
tomorrow
part.
At this same time on this same station. We're going
to
be doing It's
Feel
Just
free
Me.
To call
so
in.
Be sure to call in because you know what? Our version of It's Just Me. This is where someday, probably when I'm doing this program,
right,
my heart is going to explode. Do you understand?
Easy, Miles.
I am not drinking Merlot. If they order effing Merlot, I'm friggin' leaving. Our version of It's Just Me. And Oscar, you will corroborate the fact that when we were having the
pre-show. It was not called that.
When we were doing the pre-show meetings about this, did we not have the discussion
that
this was not an original idea?
It's not an original idea. If you're stealing from me, you're stealing from me twice.
What it is, it's like Iron Chef. Every radio show has the same ingredients. It's what you cook with
them. I will not call the woman out because maybe she was looking for it, but she said,
War of the Roses. That's fake. This is real.
And then here's where it's masterful, that you're calling it. The TMOS listener is contributing.
Yes.
So your It's Just Me will be superior to any other It's Just Me.
Have faith in yourself.
Right.
And even, if you say a nasty pony, you'll edit it. Okay?
A nasty.
There we go.
Don't say it.
Bring Robin Joe in, and we'll start the show right after this. Hit the button, Jim Nance.
It's the Mike O'Mara Show. You can listen to the Mike O'Mara Show at www.mikeomarashow.com.
Stay tuned for an outstanding entertainment program.
It's the Mike O'Mara Show.
Let's get down to business.
From the entertainment capital of the world.
Here we are, children. Come and get your lollipops. Lollipops. Come along, my little ones.
I hate that. I hate the child catcher.
Children, where are you?
Children,
I know you're here somewhere. I've lots of lovely goodies for you. Lollipops.
and all free today. Cherry pies, cream puffs, ice cream, treacle tarts.
Treacle tarts and ice creams.
Oh,
and
God,
all free.
Come along, kitty winky.
Oh, evil bastard. The
Come on.
Catcher was.
But Jeremy, Trudy said we must.
No, no, no. He's going to put you in the cage.
Well.
He's going to put you in your stupid little kids. He's going to put you in the cage. Come, he's going to put you in the cage. Now he locks him up. It's not a candy store.
My little mice, come to me. What will it be? Ice cream?
Yes, ice cream. Please,
no,
please,
doesn't
please,
have
please,
ice cream.
It's all inside. Come along, my little
dears.
Inside, lots of teddy bears. Go inside, my little dears.
Please, now you're locked up. Now you're going to die. Now you're going to die. That's the child catcher.
What is it? What's happened?
The children! He took the children!
This is Wade Byard, the public information officer for Loudoun County Public Schools. The Mike O'Mara Show has decided to start now. Please make all necessary arrangements to listen. This is the Mike O'Mara Show with Mike O'Mara, Rob Spiewak, and Oscar Santana. And now, without further delay, here's Mike O'Mara.
You know, we've run some pretty horrifying show opens, and I usually can laugh when I'm cutting them up. That one was a little dark even for me.
Scary.
The Treacle Tarts, he's taking the children!
Timely as today's headlines, that's the Mike O'Mara Show with the child catcher from Chitty Chitty Bang Bang.
A request!
Like 1940s movie. Live from the Fiverr Studios in our nation's capital, this is the Mike O'Mara Show, a worldwide radio program and a podcast with loyal listeners who get it. And if you're here, you're in the know. We are on air, on demand, and heard 24/7 on our TMOS app. Get it and get our show all day, every day. You can reach us at 888-920-MORE. That's 888-920-6673, especially tomorrow at 9 a.m. when we're doing It's Just Me.
Yes.
Even though we know it's not an original idea. Our show today brought to you by Beachbody On Demand. Springtime is here, so beach time is around the corner. Luckily, all you need is Beachbody On Demand. Beachbody On Demand, a streaming service that gives you instant access to super effective workouts. Am I right, Oscar Santana?
A 21-day fix is in for me. I'm on day 19 now. We're going to make things happen, change my life.
Hundreds of workouts for all fitness levels, ranging from bodybuilding to weight training to cardio. Workouts as short as 10 minutes that don't require extra equipment. In the time it takes you to drive and park at the gym, you could be finished working out. Use your computer, smart TV, tablet, smartphone, Roku, Apple TV, Chromecast, and more. And the best part, TMOS listeners can try it absolutely free. I know Oscar loves it. You'll love it. I really want you to try this service because it'll make you feel better. I promise our listeners can get a special free trial membership when you text TMOS to 30-30-30.
That's right.
That's access to this entire platform for free. All the workouts, the nutrition information, and support totally free. Again, just text TMOS to 30-30-30, and we thank you.
Boom,
and now, ladies and gentlemen, two gentlemen that I've had them on the show enough times now to where I don't really prepare all that much when they come by.
Right.
Because these guys just like to hang. And by the way, there is a very popular movement on social media that I'm not unaware of. It says these guys have a funnier show than I do, and I'm pretty damn sick of reading about that. To
That's
be
like
honest
four
with you,
people.
It doesn't matter if it's one show.
Two of them are us.
No, I don't think that.
Ladies and gentlemen, Robin Joe from the Robin Joe Show are here.
Hello. We also did not prepare anything. So
Rob Mayer, Joe Robinson, here they are. These two guys hanging out. Let me give you your plug because really, this is just like a real show business thing where you're coming in. The week before you have to do your big show.
We're very professional.
I love it. You're pros. Smooth Criminal, a murder mystery comedy show, Wednesday, April 11th at the DC Improv. Rob, you've been involved in these shows.
They're great.
It's a lot of fun.
This is what I haven't seen yet. This is based on Michael Jackson somehow?
Yeah, somehow we're trying to, you know, take his fame and likeness and make money off
his art.
Yes.
Everything that he has done, which is exceptional, and then we pace it in with this crap we do.
Yeah, exactly. Wednesday, 11 April, 7:30 at the DC Improv. Tickets available at dcimprov.com. And hello, boys. It's been too long. How you been?
Been too long. Good to be back with you guys. It's been way too long. So it's great to be back.
I'm thinking about you, Rob, because I got on the air and did this this big kind of rant about Tiffany Haddish. And then, like an hour later, I see that you're opening for her and that, you know, you're just sending these glowing. And I would, too, if I was part of that. I mean, her star is rising, but I was just doing this thing. I don't understand. She couldn't read the Oscar nominees, blah, blah, blah. And I'm just reaming her. And then I see it's you opening for her big time. And you've been... You've had a relationship with this comedian for quite some time, right?
Yeah, I've basically worked with her in four levels of her fame. The first time was at the Arlington Draft House right
she
up the road here.
She opened for Rob.
Yeah, right. About 5-6 years ago. And she was, you know, she was headlining, so she was obviously doing well. But she was on a few TV spots here and there. And then at Magoobie's Joke House, I know you love the name Magoobie's.
It's
Mike.
A great Magoobies! Name.
Yes. Back about a year and a half ago, she was on the Carmichael Show. She had a couple things going. And she talked about how she just filmed this movie with Queen Latifah and Jada Pinkett Smith, of course, speaking right. about Girls Trip. And right. she thought this was going to just take things to the next level. And, of course, that was accurate. And then last summer at Virginia Beach Funny Bone, where she had a little bit of an entourage with her. And then on these theater shows, now we've graduated from comedy clubs to theaters, where she had the whole, the agents, the makeup, the
full
assistant,
team.
The manager, everybody there, yeah. But still the same, just cool, let's hang out and just have fun and just have a good show.
But she brought you along. I should point out, she brought you along to the theater shows because she likes your work, and it's a good step for you playing the bigger rooms, isn't it?
That's a great
Joe wants to say. I like when Joe wants to say something.
Tell the story about the crazy fans who knocked on the...
She's... outgrown.
You turn Joe's microphone up for me, Rob Spiewak, please. Thank you very much. All right.
We did this theater in Richmond, and she's still at the point where they're putting up in the same hotel that the regular people are in, right? So it's this nice theater in Richmond right across the street. It's this Hilton. It's a nice hotel, but it's nothing crazy. Now, she's in the seventh floor, but so am I. Now, she's in the nicest room.
Is that the floor where they give you the free breakfast in the morning?
We did have the executive lounge. So,
okay. But she's on. It's either the breakfast or you get the booze in the evening, right?
Exactly.
You get a little wine tasting or something like that.
So we're all walking back to the room, and she's on the phone as we're walking through the hall. We go in her room, and it's a long hallway in her room, and then you turn, and then you get into the living room. She's got a suite. It's me, right. Tiffany, my girlfriend. We hear a knock on her door. I think it's one of the other comics or one of her people trying to get in. I open it. It's two girls that look like they're like ready for bed that are staying in the hotel that were clearly at the show. And they're like, is this Tiffany's room? And I'm like, I can't talk about that, which is a yes.
So suddenly you're put in the role of security.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm. Right.
So,
by the way, both these girls could kick his ass.
Totally.
So
yeah.
These are women that have muscles on top of my. Or are
no,
they
they're
simply
just regular
larger?
Girls? They're just regular. They're 9-year-old girls.
You always say girls, that about yeah, every girl, right?
One, any girl could kick.
One was blind, the other was in a wheelchair. Right. But whatever. They were angry. No. So they're. Can you let us in? I'm like, no. I can't let you in a private room. Can you get a sign or autograph? I'm like, the show's over. So now I close the door so that I'm outside of the room so they can't get in. So Tiffany hears talking. So she opens the door thinking, you know, what's going on?
What's all this then?
And then the one girl is just, like she saw Elvis or Michael Jackson, depending on your age or whatever. She falls onto the floor. She's screaming. A white guy opens the door next door in his bathroom. It's 1:30 in the morning. He's like, what's going on out here? What's all this commotion? I'm going to call the front desk. Tiffany's like, you can call them. These aren't my friends. You're calling them on them, not me.
Yeah, right.
So eventually they take the pictures and then they
so
leave.
She was cool about it?
She was cool totally cool about it. But she is getting to the point where you might have to put her in like, the hotel where you're not going to get the riffraff. You're just
she is at the point, isn't she?
She should get her own floor.
She is at that point.
She's always on TMZ.
Yeah.
Like, well, she's got the Kevin Hart movie that's coming out this summer. She's
right.
Night School.
Night School. Mm-hmm. She's shooting the second season of The Last OG that just premiered last night or two nights ago.
Oh, yeah. You have to lobby to get on that opening, act thing. Did you do a little cursing to get on?
They heard you coming into town or the region.
She got me on in Virginia Beach and then I texted her when I saw that the theater shows were coming. I said, I'd love to get on some. She goes, just let me know which ones. And then
you can just text her. You go right through to her. You
well,
don't
not
go through
the
her people.
Important phone. He's got the.
Well, no, you know, I actually.
The burner.
Right.
I had the second phone. And then because the first gig we did in this recent one was the Borgata in Atlantic City.
Yeah.
And I was driving up there and then I got a group text, all like LA phone numbers saying, what time is the show tonight? I didn't know any of these numbers. I was like, oh.
Did you start calling them and saying, who's this?
I bet you that's the... the Tiffany, the bat number.
Yeah.
So then I took pictures of her getting off stage that night because at the Warner, they had the house lights came up and I took these cool photos and of her like saying goodnight. And then she goes, oh, text me those numbers. I go, oh, was that number yours the other day? Because I didn't have that number. Yeah, that's the secret number. So now I got the secret number.
Oh, good for you.
So now I'm super connected.
Yeah.
Good for you.
What's going on with you?
Joe,
what have you been doing?
I've been watching Rob and his Tiffany Haddish relationship.
Do you have any new phone numbers?
Joe's opening up for Mickey Coachella next week.
How is the Mick? You guys, Joe, you hang out more in Baltimore than I do. Have you bumped into the Coachella man recently? What's
you know
that
what?
New with
I
him?
I haven't talked to him in a while, but somebody offered me a gig that I didn't want, so I offered it to him. It's been the first time I talked to him about 6 months, and he said, thanks, and he's now doing he's doing woodworking. So if you guys need any gazebos or decks or anything built,
This is true.
He's not doing comedy anymore?
No, he still is.
Well, it's funny, the product that he produces in this woodworking.
What does he produce?
I'm kidding.
No, he is doing some sort of woodworking.
Yeah, he really
is.
He
doing woodworking? Wood. Is he doing woodworking with tools that he borrowed from Oscar that he doesn't give back?
Steamrolling toward a dildo joke there.
No, that's
he's making dildos of wood. That's
the name of his Mike. Yes. That's his boutique.
Mickey Coachella's Dildos of Wood.
That's in Annapolis, dildos. I think. Yeah.
The classics.
As far as the equipment is concerned, please leave the man alone. Every time he posts something on Facebook, it's like the Britney, leave Britney alone cry that we saw a decade ago where I see give Oscar's mics back.
Let me explain. Oscar, when Mickey was doing a podcast on the Moore Network and Oscar rolled up to Baltimore to help Mickey set it up, brought a bunch of equipment and got Mickey started on this thing. And then... Mickey just kind of went away and decided he, and that's kind of Mickey. Mickey's done that a lot. I like Mickey. I've always liked Mickey. He's always been nice to me. And he just kind of went away. And Oscar was frustrated and talked about it. It was funny talking about it on the show. And now, whenever we'll bring it up, there are these listeners that just won't leave Mickey alone about it. Right. Oscar doesn't give a rat's ass anymore. Well, and the fact we've chalked it up to it's in some basement in Baltimore.
It's a sunk cost.
Yeah. Well, actually, if the bridge isn't too burnt, he expressed to me that he wanted to do a woodworking podcast.
I'll take it. It might be better than Americast. We'll take a break right now. Oh, I kid. That's because I know he's doing your thing. See, that's why I said that. Because I know that's a lot of connective tissue with all these people here.
Have you ever carved a gazebo?
Hey, how you doing there? Hey, we love Marcus Serta. We do. We'll take a break, and we're with Rob and Joe from The Rob and Joe Show, and we'll find out more about what these two crazy kooky kids are up to when we come back on The Mike O'Mara Show.
This week on the Mike O'Mara Bonus Show.
Yeah. Hard ginger ale,
well,
hard cherry.
Started with Mike's Hard Lemonade, right?
Yes.
Well, I've done that. I'm talking about this new line that's out that apparently is taking over the world.
Don't poo-poo my lemonade. I want to say you're welcome to consumers. My hard lemonade.
Mike O'Mara's Hard Lemonade.
Where do you think it came from? Okay, you think it's just podcasting and restaurants that I do?
Problem is, now that you're getting older,
yeah,
not as hard.
Mike, this is
the Mike O'Mara Bonus Show. Because 5 hours a week just ain't enough. Always available at MikeO'MaraShow.com.
Welcome back to the Mike O'Mara Show, everybody. Here's a fact. I have never had a better shave than the shave I get with my Harry's. The best blades, the best shaving gel, the best of everything. Harry's stands behind the quality of their blades, but they know that switching razors isn't an easy decision. So they created a trial offer. Claim yours by going to harrys.com/TMOS. Harry's founders were fed up with overpaying for expensive razors with unnecessary features. That's why they bought a factory that's been making some of the highest quality blades in the world for over 95 years. That's right. We are making the blades for over 95 years. Listen, by selling directly to you, they can offer their blades at Harry's at just $2 per blade compared to the $4 or more for the leading brand. Plus, if you don't love your shave, Harry's, let them know within 30 days and they'll give you a full refund. Get a $13 value trial set that comes with everything you need for a close, comfortable shave, a weighted ergonomic handle, 5-blade razor with lubricating strip and trimmer blade, rich lathering shave gel, and a travel blade cover. Our listeners can redeem their trial set at harrys.com/TMOS. Make sure to go to harrys.com/TMOS to redeem your offer and let them know that I sent you to help support the show. Start saving while you're shaving, everyone. We're here with Joe Robinson and Rob Mayer of the Robin Joe Show, and always nice to have these boys come by, even though they give me promos for my show that are so filthy that they cannot be aired on our regular. That's not our fault.
I'm glad you brought that up.
Yes.
Well, now listen, before we even go on this thing, be very careful, because that was disgustingly hysterical. But we played it on the bonus show.
On the bonus show.
Well, the idea behind this was that every verb and noun was supposed to be beeped. You're supposed to hear nothing, and everything is supposed to be left to your imagination. It didn't even matter what we said. You were supposed to have
just enough to like beep, beep, yeah, fingers, beep,
just,
you know,
nothing. Yeah. And that's, we weren't specific enough to the person that we love that edited it. We didn't do a good enough job with this great person.
Was that pony that was supposed to edit it?
No.
It rhymes with Larkus Perda.
Okay, Marcus Serta was supposed to edit it. Now I understand.
No, he did edit it.
Yeah.
Are you two aware of the major 2018 controversy on the Mike O'Mara show with Pony in Japan? And
very aware.
Yeah, I'd love your take on
that. Yeah, what's your take?
Well, before we ask Oscar, I just want to set it up a little bit, because when I did it, I was I came out as the monster on this.
I don't think just you, Mike.
I'm still. Oh well, yeah. Oscar took some bullets. So thank you, Oscar. You're right.
Yeah,
I have to give credit. It's all about me. I'm sorry. You came out as a bit of a monster too.
That right.
We picked on Mike's Tony take. A little bit too much. And you're familiar with this, Rob. You know what's going on.
Oh, I know all about it. I was on the. You know, the fan club. I frequent the postings on there.
Well, you are a big fan.
I am a big fan, and I love clubs. And so,
don't do it while I'm my tuberculosis. I can't handle it.
Be less funny today, okay?
I got it. Joe, talk more. sorry, but so I'm reading like, oh my God, Mike. You know, the horrible things that Mike said today. I can't believe this. I'm done with the show, and I'm like, well, okay, this something happened. So I, you know how you go into something with an expectation, like if you think it's the worst movie of all time, and if it's average, you're like, that wasn't bad.
Exactly.
Yeah. So I go in and I keep waiting for you to just like, you know,
scorched earth,
just scorched earth. Pony, you're the worst person ever. Rot it out, die. I want to see you burn. You know, and then I'm like, I mean, you're a little hard on him, but I kind of see where you're coming from. Right. Like, you were coming from this place. It was like, why aren't you as angry as I am at you? Why aren't you angry as the situation?
Right.
That's exactly so I'm like, was. I kept waiting for the evil Mike to come out, and I was like, I didn't see it. Now I get. Because people, they protect you, Pony, and they're very, they could tell that you can't protect yourself. So they wanted to be there for you and hold you. And
Pony's kind of like those girls in the Tiffany Haddish story.
Yeah, exactly.
Haddish, is that the reference? That was the guy, the girl that Mike was saying wasn't funny, Tiffany Haddish. Yeah. No, but I was on the other side. I mean, I was on Pony's side in that I thought it was hilarious that he beat the fan club out of thousands and thousands of dollars. So I was, whatever. I mean, there's two sides to every story.
It's a win. Yeah, yeah. What a con man you are. Nice new car, by the way.
Oh, my God. I never put two together.
The irony, it's a Japanese car.
That's right.
Coincidence with that. Oh, my God. Hey, I want to give you your plug again. Everybody, get tickets to this show. Smooth Criminal, a murder mystery comedy show, Wednesday, April 11th at 7:30 at the DC Improv. Tickets available. God, I haven't got the tuberculosis today. I swear to God, it's all coming up. DCImprov.com. Listen, I think you can probably hear my lungs when I take a deep breath. Listen.
Oh.
Does that sound good?
Does that sound gurgly? I think you'll make it till the weekend.
Do you know what I can say this now because we're separated from the commercial. I was having the worst coughing jag during the health spot, the beach body on demand
really?
Spot.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
What would sound better than, if you'd like to be healthy,
for well, it's summer, kind of it like when like Lucille Ball used to do the cigarette commercials and say,
they're easy on the throat, Ricky.
Easy on your throat. If I can just give a personal story here for a second. We took my kid to a place down here that's a go-kart track, and it's got the mini roller coaster, the mini, all the rides kind of in miniature for little people. And we take him to this, and he's really super thrilled. And this is a message to any parent out there. If you are taking your kid to daycare, to preschool, to anything where, just be aware of the people that might be supervising your kids. We take my kid to a place called Zoomers. And Zoomers, you know, is
it's owned by the same people that own Good Guys, right?
this is not a fourth tier or even a fifth tier amusement. It's an arcade that I guess invested a little more money, and the rides are humidity. It's got scratch and dent. It's got half the stuff isn't working. It's got one of those giant slides that had the inflatable slides.
Yeah.
That's just been taken out of service.
Yeah.
And it's got weeds growing up around it. But the go-karts with the disinterested, lazy teenagers that are working at the park, they seem to be in pretty good repair. And he likes, and it's,
is that the cornerstone of the business, the go-karts? That's what brings him in?
I think so.
Okay.
It seems to be the most popular part. My kid, when we went to, the first time I went to it, I took him to a birthday party. And here he is, 4 and a half. And because I guess they don't care about the safety regulations, they let him get behind the wheel of a motorized go-kart.
And as someone who has been through that birthday party circuit and the kids circuit, if you're not really aware, you just sort of de facto assume, well, they know what they're doing. The kid's going to be safe.
Right.
But in a place like that, nothing could be further from the truth. They don't care.
Was with all the other, he was with, it was a 5-year-old's birthday party, and he's 4 and a half. And so he was on the younger side, but they put him in, and I'm like, oh, they're putting him in, and I'm fine. I'll watch it. And then it was just so super cool for me to see my 4 and a half-year-old, you know?
Right.
I wouldn't let him touch the wheel of a golf cart, and he's out there going, around this track and having a fantastic time. So I said, you know, we're leaving the birthday party, and my kids, like my daughters before, they're cool about exits. They don't pitch the fit about.
Super chill.
Because as far as they're concerned, telling them that they're going to come back is good enough. I said, I know you don't want to leave now, but we will come back. And I promised him that. And so about 2 weeks ago, we took him to Zoomers, and he lights up, and it's just incredible. And Mama's going to come along. So, you know, if you look at Dad, Daddy doesn't get on these child rides, but my lovely bride.
You didn't do the slide?
Didn't do the slide. I just, I pay me money and let them go.
Okay.
And Carla goes on the little baby roller coaster, and then the little baby Tilt-A-Whirl. Mm-hmm. And, see, the thing is, though, the roller coaster and the baby Tilt-A-Whirl they may be baby rides, but they still have the motion. So Carla gets off, and she's green. And I said, hey, how you doing? She said, I can't stand rides. I said, oh, that's why I brought you. So it's, but my son is having a fantastic time. He goes on the go-kart. Once again, this is what you always have to be aware of at these amusements, whether it's a moon bounce or anything. It's the 13-year-old. That doesn't belong on the little kids segment of the park.
Sure.
And that was the same thing with the go-kart, where this stunted dip-ass of a kid hops in, and he's banging into all the little kids with the go-kart. And I pass along to the disinterested pimple face that, hey, you know, you got a marauder out there.
A marauder.
You got somebody who's terrorizing the little kids. And Carla, and you know Carla, she does not hesitate.
Yeah.
They go the first round, and he immediately gets in line, and he wants to go again. And I want my son to have another run at the thing. And Carla walks over to the kid, and she's trying to reason with him and say, listen, you know, you have little kids out there, and you really can't bump into him. The kid's going, yeah, F you, lady. And he gets in, and he starts slamming into the kids.
Of course. So that's the only reason he's there.
What a jerk.
But that's not the point of the story. The point of the story is, be aware of the people you put in charge of your children.
Right.
And this is Saturday, so I assume this was preschool / daycare, but I'll get to that in a second. We get done. We're getting ready to wind down and get out of this park. And standing in the middle of the concrete with no one within 30 feet of him is this kid that is right out of a Dickens novel.
Oh, no.
He's just, I mean, if he had the olden time clothes on, he would look like, you know, he's like, please, sir, can I have some more?
It's the Artful Dodger.
Yeah. And he's there, and we're walking back into the building, and I'm looking at it. We got to say something. This is like a 4 or 5-year-old kid. He's just standing there looking lost. Looking like, this is not a big place.
This
is not, But I'm, you know, I mean, he's got a neon light over his head that says, neglect, neglect, I am neglected. And we walk over and I say, hi, hi, are you looking for somebody? And then the kid, I don't want to comment on his intellectual capacity, but he wasn't able to skillfully articulate his current situation, which made us even more concerned for the kid. And I look at Carla, and we're kind of proactive. I said, "Well, we gotta wrangle this sure. kid. I mean, he's by himself, and who knows what kind of, yeah." There weren't any real creepoids in there or anything like that.
Good,
that we're trying to do that, but we take the kid. I take him by the hand, his little sweaty, dirty hand, and I bring him and I bring him into the building. Well, it's humid in Florida.
I know,
you
know
it they're is. All running around the plane rides, and we take it to the lady, and she says, "Oh, okay, we'll keep him here." And she takes his hand, "Hey, little one," and then I'm saying, "Okay. We're out.
Yeah.
And
did she seem responsible, not disinterested?
She said to me, "Well, there is a class here." I said, "Saturday." I said, "Oh, well, there's a class." I said, "Okay. I guess this is their additional preschool
go-kart
thing.
Class?
Or Saturday CCD or something."
Or maybe it's
slide
maybe
repair.
Maybe it's daycare or something like that. And then we go outside again. And at this point, we see the kid come running out. And there are like five or six of the same age kid, and there's a teacher there. But to call her a teacher,
oh no!
This woman, this is every trailer of every news show that I have had when I've done. This is a floor. This is crystal meth, like you would not. I mean, you're looking at the and she is the professional.
She's
and
the one in
I
charge.
Said,
yeah,
I said, and she. Is unintelligible. I walk up. I said, "Okay, I'm glad you found him. We didn't know whether he was lost." And she's like, "Yeah, we're going singing like my body." And she's got greasy, stringy hair.
Sure.
And she has a clipboard, but it looks like maybe she was doing lines off of it. It was scary. It was scary. And so we walk away and we're kind of, Carl and I like go off to the side because now it's just a show. It's like,
yeah,
is she really the caretaker for these children? And they're all different ages and sizes. And it's just, I don't know what the hell was going on, but he was reunited and it wasn't sweaty as much as they looked like they'd been swimming. But there's
Is
no
there a
place
pool?
To swim. There are bumper boats, but you can't get that
there's
wet.
There's a pond in the water.
The bumper boats are like 4 inches of water, and then these dirty little inflatable rafts that have little engines on them. And
chance
it's a petri dish?
It wasn't
got a lung infection.
It wasn't like quintuplets, was it? It was they weren't related.
This was a professionally run
end of quotes.
This was daycare or preschool. But the moral of the story is like when you drop your kid off,
yeah,
you know, make sure you know who they're dealing with. And by the way, 4.5 year olds, you put anybody in that environment for an afternoon of preschool or daycare, and these people are brains are squashed.
What you should
it's like
have
getting
done,
an electroshock treatment.
What you should have done is approach this supervisor with the stringy greasy hair and said, I also have a youngster. Do you have a business card?
Oh, no. Yeah.
Do you have room for a six?
How does things
you
run?
Just got to be kind of aware, you know, when
yeah,
you hear
you
the
do.
Stories about, people had kids, you know, cooking meth in the preschool. You know what's happening with that.
Well, what are the parents like if they look at this woman and go, yeah, she can watch her kids?
I think she's the best of the
here's
people
Here's the way
seen.
I processed it, Rob. I thought that maybe that this was not necessarily preschool as much as daycare. And it was 6 day a weekers, people that are working, you know, slaying the dragon that have to work on Saturdays.
At
and
the dog track, Saturday is a big day.
It's the biggest. Well, people out there getting it done down here, and they have to put their kids with somebody else on a Saturday. And that's, not everybody's like, Saturday, suburbia, USA, we have the day off. It doesn't always work like that.
So, in defense of them, I mean, if you could go to a daycare where there's go-karts.
That's true.
It's got to be the ideal, yeah,
solid
right?
field trip for a kid.
Yeah.
Well, no, I mean, if I'm a professional who has to wrangle kids on a Saturday and, you know, you can get the extra money to take them there, I'd take them to Zoomers.
Sure.
And let them have I just wish Zoomers would, you know, put a coat of paint on a few things. You know?
Yeah, so you're probably getting the Saturday daycare worker, kind of like the the strip club noon on Tuesday girl. You're not getting the prime shift person there.
That's the way it goes. Yeah.
Yeah, so, no A-listers. You know,
no. Yeah. Really just a placeholder.
Right.
Yeah.
Be aware of what you're doing. Not like my wonderful family with both custodial parents side by side. Yeah. Daddy being 58 years old saying, you know, and I get the same thing at Zoomers every day, which is like, hey, go see your grandpa. Anyway, we'll take a break and we'll come back with more fun and more thrills on the Mike O'Mara Show.
More network traffic on the threes.
In the district, Wisconsin Avenue, just a little south of 37th Avenue Northwest, there's a multi-car accident tying up traffic in both directions. A vehicle exiting the CVS lost control on a pile of excrement and slid into oncoming traffic. In Maryland, expect delays on the Orange Line between Landover and New Carrollton. A sugar glider is loose on the tracks and Metro Police are trying to catch it. In Northern Virginia, police are investigating a pedestrian hit and run on Nutley Street near Lee Highway. Fairfax County Police are currently cleaning up pieces of orange jacket. Northbound 234 near Route 28 Manassas is closed as police scramble to clean up some used tires. Just go to MichaelMaraShow.com, click on the Amazon portal, and start shopping. From the More Network Traffic Center, I'm Johnny Marburg.
Welcome back to the Mike O'Mara Show, brought to you by Cornerstone First Financial. I'll say it again. If you're not growing, you're dying, Satine. Anyway, I'm sure that's a line from Moulin Rouge.
I like it.
What's wrong with me? We are proud to announce that Cornerstone First Financial is now licensed in Colorado.
Yeah.
Every day.
Yes. Every day, right?
For them.
Yes.
And still, more states are soon to come. So whether you're in Maryland, D.C., Virginia, Florida, Georgia, or even Colorado, Cornerstone is there to help you when you need it. I love that they're growing. That's wonderful.
Wicked great.
If you're buying, selling, or refinancing, all you need is Cornerstone First. They know exactly what to do. So even if you don't, you'll still come out on top. It is a fact that interest rates are going up all the time. So TMOS listeners need to act now to refinance or take cash out or pay off debt before rates go up even further. Cornerstone First Financial is here to help. They can figure out your best financial moves and get them done for you so you save money. Approved by Oscar Santana. Oscar, you know all these people. It's got to be cool to watch them grow.
You got to believe in a business that says, go try and find a better rate, and you go and try and you can't.
That's right. They know what they're
doing. Click their banner on our website or call Cornerstone First Financial 202-625-1221. Mention TMOS and receive a free appraisal at closing from the 202 to the Centennial State. Is that yours?
Yeah, I had to actually Google what the nickname of Colorado was.
Personal attention from application to closing. Licensed in Maryland, D.C., Virginia, Florida, Georgia, and Colorado. Don't wait. Now is the time to call Cornerstone First Financial. And we thank you. We're here with Rob and Joe of The Rob and Joe Show. The show is sounding fantastic.
Oh, yes.
Thanks. You guys are always killing it. You are the most successful show on the More Network, and you guys have quite, quite a following.
I'm pretty sure yours is a little more successful.
Well, no, I mean next to ours.
Ours is
the
satellite show.
Yes. But the satellite show, it's that you guys are doing well. You've got a real following. As a matter of fact, I have to say it's pretty frustrating for your boy here when the wife of one of the principals on the show does not listen to my show, but listens to the Rob and Joe show.
She does check in. She likes your show.
She's just listening for her name.
She's just trying to not hear Rob Spiewak talk. I think. And right.
She wants a Rob in her life.
Exactly.
Would it be safe just to say not me. You service the fans, though.
We do.
Literally, you service
the fans. We do. Speaking of fans, this applies to you as well, Mike. I'm going to be in Tampa at the Improv.
Tamper!
In May 17th through the 20th, Mac Berkson, TMOS fan and fan of our show.
Super fan.
Lost a lot of money in that pony thing.
We're going to... Yeah. He's. I bought him a ticket to the show. And
so he came out sort of even.
And now he's only down Uber. $938.
I'll tell a lot of jokes about anime and travel. And you're not that far from Tampa, are you?
But I'm going. I'm going to the Great White North that weekend. That's when I'm heading out of Dodge.
Why don't you stop by on the way?
Yeah,
that's a great idea, Oscar. Why don't you let me manage my own schedule?
As a rule, things haven't worked out.
Are you going to be there Thursday through Saturday?
Yeah, Thursday I'm headlining, and then Friday, Saturday, Sunday I'm with David Koechner, one of my other celebrity friends.
I could go up on a Thursday.
There you
go. I could go up Thursday night. It's 2.5 hours up the road.
Skip and a jump.
What is Koechner's stand-up like? Because I know him mostly from sitcoms.
Right. He talks, he's got a wife and five kids, so there's some of that.
Okay.
he's a fun guy. So okay. he a lot of it's what happens is people start yelling out like his catchphrases from, you know, in TV shows and movies and stuff,
right.
And then he starts repeating it back and it gets weird. But because you can tell he hates that.
Sure. But that's why they're there.
Exactly. Okay. So,
but a lot of TV shows about stand-up comedy now, aren't there? I mean, it's the behind-the-scenes back.
Well, I'm dying up here.
HBO, was it Crashing?
Yeah.
Is that the one? Yeah, that's...
Well, what did you think of that? Was that accurate? Did you feel like
I am behind on that. I heard it's gotten better. I think it's
second
season
better.
Yeah. But it has a lot of, you know, it's all New York comics. It's full of, like... comics that
the ball busting's great in season two. It gets
we're
better.
Gonna get a we're having an author come on that wrote the story of behind the scenes story about Caddyshack, and he gives the history of all of the connective tissue with the Harvard Lampoon that went to the National Lampoon, that went to the Groundlings, that went to Second City TV, that went to the Saturday Not Roddy for Primetime Players, mm-hmm. and how all these guys, you know, kind of
it was a smaller business then. Yeah, it was everyone knew everybody. Yeah.
But it's always been the same where the people that are good at it, I always believe this, are just right on the cutting edge of total neurosis.
Yeah.
And just,
yeah.
And just total. And there's not a tremendous amount of joy for other people that killed. There are many friendships. There are many people that like each other. There's generosity.
It's so true.
But yeah. It's such a strength. I mean, even more, first of all, it exists in this business too. The ability to, you know, say, hey, did you hear that other disc jockey just got a multi-year contract? And you kind of go, die, please die. It's just, isn't that all? That's all showbiz.
Well, you're competing with each other, essentially,
yeah,
right? I mean, that's so, obviously, I root for Rob to have success because we're in business together.
Right.
But, you know, we have a close friend, Rory Scovel. Are you guys familiar with mm-hmm. him? Right. He's in the new Amy Schumer movie, and he's the male lead.
Is he?
And he came from the same crappy places, Topaz hotel rooms we came from.
Yeah.
But when I see that, I don't feel jealous of that. I feel happy for him.
Mm-hmm.
Now, if he sucked, I would feel bad about that.
Right.
But the fact that he's great, he's awesome. So,
see,
you know,
that gives a different perspective. If there was another disc jockey, well, you know, I'm late in the game. I've been doing this a long time. If there
people
was
probably hated you more than you would ever hate anybody else, because you were winning since you were in your 20s. And you're technically winning now. So the amount of hate that you have for other people, whether you chalk it up to competition or anything else, you probably have 10x that coming at you from behind the scenes because we're like, how did he have such a great run?
The only way I can put it is in DJ terms, because I've never done anything besides this. And mm-hmm. I think in terms of when Don and I were coming up in the business, and as a matter of fact, when we first started, and there was the morning show that early on, I started guesting on Don's show, and then right away, the general manager and program director said, hey, we got something.
Yeah, this was afternoons.
And the morning guys were Charlie and Harrigan, who are they would have been my age now. And I just can't even imagine how hateful they must have been towards us. And rightly so.
Yeah.
These nasty little pit bulls that are in their 20s just coming in and going, you know, Charlie Brown, Irv Harrigan, I want them dead. I'm surprised we didn't have contracts put out on us.
Yeah.
You know, it was just I don't know. I think I understand that you feel joy for somebody else who's in it.
Mike doesn't have that check.
I think specifically if, thank you, Oscar. And I do.
Sounds like an insult.
Is that the point? You know, it's weird doing a show where I can't see Oscar on camera. It's really, you know, he doesn't have that chip like you, Mike. Joe Robinson, much nicer person than you will ever be.
Mike, what he's referring to is the joy chip.
The joy chip.
Rob,
you are devoid of the joy chip.
Joe, I will tell you this. It is, and Oscar will tell you, I have the ability to feel joy.
You're a good person behind the scenes.
For others. With exceptions, with exceptions, you know, I mean, I am happy for a success when Rob has a success with his family or something professional,
right.
Even when it's something small, like doing something for the football team out there. When Oscar got his MBA, I felt like it was my son getting an MBA. That's how I feel. When it comes to certain people, I don't know, no names, names escape. Chad Dukes. I don't feel the same level of joy. And it's, you know, it's conflictive. It is.
So do you guys have conflicts? Are there comics that you have seen that have made it big that you are bitter about because you don't like the basis of their comedy?
I can't think of anybody that I take a lot of pride. Like, for example, you guys know who Seton Smith is? Whatever. He was on What TV show was he on with John Lovitz and
John Mulaney's TV show?
Yeah, yeah, he was on that.
Oh, Mulaney.
Yeah, he was on Mulaney. And I was one time in a comedy competition, and he was in the final four with me, and I won it. Now, he's way funnier than me, but I see his success, and that brings me great pride.
Right. Right?
Because, you know, I'm like, well, I'm funnier than that guy, which I'm not, but it's,
okay.
It's not,
but you have the certificate.
Yeah, yeah.
It's not that way. But I see that comedy has become more niche, where, you know, I sort of come from this background that I feel like you should be able to make any crowd laugh.
Mm-hmm.
So it could be a coffee shop in DC or a comedy club in Cleveland, and you're going to get a different crowd. But if you're a good comic, you should be able to make everybody laugh. But now you have these niche comics that this is my audience. This is what I talk about, and I crush in that. And I'm like, yeah, you're getting somewhere with that, and that's, you are successful with that. But there's no way that you're going to do better than me. And the Tampa Improv. It's just not going to happen.
This is so insightful. Yeah, in season two of the HBO series
Crashing,
they talk about how working clubs is so old school, and the new thing, this hipster comedy thing, is to go to like these underground condos
right.
and rooms where you do this type of niche comedy, and that's the new it comedy. But I believe, Mike, and I think you will back me up, and Rob will as well, that you're right. You should be able to make anyone laugh if this is your profession.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
How do you do in front of the Haddish audience? Do you kill in front of that?
Yeah, boy. To be honest, and this is, if there is like an avenue for me to really take this super leap, because, you know, I was on the thing with the Kevin Hart show.
Yeah.
That is, right now, that is my wheelhouse, because I have...
White guy talking to black audiences?
Yes, because I have my girlfriend is black.
Good for
and
you.
I have,
good for you.
And I'm not trying to act the white guy that's acting black. So I'm
genuine.
I'm the guy from the suburbs is talking to black people, how a guy from the suburbs would talk to black people.
Oh, I love that.
And it resonates. And the only time anyone gets offended by any jokes that I talk are black, white, it's going to be a white person. It's never going to be a black person. It's going to be some white. That's offensive.
It's a little edgy.
No,
I like
it's
that
not.
Whole concept. I
right.
Like that
so that's, it's almost like I can hit a low fastball and no one can hit it better than me. And I know I'm going to get that pitch. I'm going to crush it. Because that's what I'm getting. So that audience, I'm coming out, I'm doing 10 minutes. It's a theater. They're excited to be there. It's 90% black. They see me. What's going to happen? And then I surprise them because they don't know that I'm going to be as funny as I am. And it's my wheelhouse.
I get that. I'm taking your lead a little bit because the guys don't even know this. I'm actually going to be doing a gig.
Oh,
it's not a big gig, but it's in York, Pennsylvania.
Yeah.
And it's a niche thing. I'm a 58-year-old Irish Catholic guy, and I'm doing an all Amish audience, which I think is going to be
nice.
Really, really, really cool.
You're going to churn. That's what they call it there.
Yeah, I'm excited. I got a bit about speeding in one of those horse carts that'll knock your.
Does the punchline talk about the reflective yellow triangle?
Yeah. Stop it.
Sorry. Spoiler. It. Spoiler sorry. Alert.
Oh, little weigh in from my head writer. We'll take a break and
Tiffany
we'll come back with the news you may not need. It's always fun to panel on news you may not need with Rob and Joe. We'll do that when we come back. Right. Yeah.
The Mike O'Mara Show is made possible by contributions from. The Cappy Pfeiffer Foundation, Charles and Barbara Moody, the Stephen D. McIntyre Charitable Trust, the Oscar F. Santana Scholarship Program, Pony Boys Club of Fairfax, the Chubbuck Feuerbach Dinner Club Foundation, and by the generous support of listeners like you who have purchased a bonus show package and have shopped through the Amazon portal at MikeO'MaraShow.com. Thank you.
Thank you. That was a strange one. Welcome back to the Mike O'Mara Show. Some of you know that we have a new policy for Amazon for 2018, but we want to make sure that everyone knows it. Here's all you need to know. To ensure that we get credit for your Amazon purchase, just make sure that you click the Amazon link at the top of the TMOS website. It's super easy, and that will guarantee that we get credit for your purchase. So start clicking, because if you need it, Amazon has it. What is today's Amazon purchase of the day?
What have I always told you, Mike? You live, you learn, right?
Yeah, you have to.
I needed a new thermometer for my grill because it's, you know, springtime. You're checking your grill out. And I went to Weber.com and it was expensive. I went to Amazon.com, found the same thermometer for half price. Yay. And it's a licensed Weber part.
Wow.
So if you need parts for your grill, brand, any kind, go to Amazon first and save, I say, 50%.
Perfect. Amazon really does have everything. You find that and more at the top of MikeOmeraShow.com and get clicking.
News!
Boo! Before we get into this, I want to make sure that I let you know what's going on with Rob and Joe. Smooth Criminal, a murder mystery comedy show, Wednesday, April 11th at 7:30 at the DC Improv, a wonderful, wonderful venue, both for performers and for an audience.
Get
your tickets at dcimprov.com and all other information you can get at robinjoe.com or robmayer.com or joerobinsoncomedy.com. On Twitter at Rob Meyer, Rob Mayer rather, at Joe M. Robinson and at Rob and Joe Show. They are covered, and that is all their information.
You have your whole rep company in this new mystery?
We've got Justin. We've got Eric, the guy that's the fat guy that gets naked.
Yes, he's very funny. It's a great crew that does these shows.
And yeah, you say fat guy getting naked, I'm in the front row. Jamie King from Sin City was badly shaken up yesterday. I saw the pictures on TMZ. Some guy jumped on her car and broke the rear windshield while her four-year-old son was inside.
Oh, man.
Just jumped up on the car and started kicking the windshield. The car was parked on the side of the road in Beverly Hills. Jamie wasn't in it when the 47-year-old man jumped on it, but her son and a friend were, which is even worse, I would think. According to police, the man got on the hood of the car and started banging on the windshield. I saw pictures of this. It's terrifying. Then he jumped on the rear windshield, too. It's not the rear window. It's the rear window, not the rear windshield.
Yeah, there's no windshield.
It's the rear of the car.
It shields no wind.
Thank you. He cracked both of them, and glass actually got on the kid, which is scary. Described the man as a transient and said Jamie's car wasn't the only one he attacked. He was also throwing cans at people. Maybe those are cans. Why do I think cans out of a shopping cart?
Right? Was that guy a daycare provider?
Saturday daycare provider?
Beverly Hills Zoomers.
Yes.
The Stormy Daniels saga has taken a turn that very few people wanted it to, because now, whether we want to or not, we all have formed a mental image of President Trump's you-know-what.
Yes.
That's because on yesterday's Today Show, Stormy's lawyer, who is made for television, told Megyn Kelly about a certain detail that was left out of a recent 60 Minutes interview. He said the interview went 2 hours, so a lot of stuff didn't make it to the broadcast, including this. Here's the quote. She can describe the president's genitalia in great detail.
Mike, I don't really like to step on your news, but I think we should hear it in his voice if that's okay.
Okay, very good.
She can describe the president's genitalia in great detail.
This guy is such a pit bull. He's not going away. He knows how to stay on TV. Megan, you know, the overrated Megyn Kelly replied, quote, I didn't need to hear that. My eyes, I didn't need to hear that. That's just her quote that reads pretty funny.
I'm very glad she was able to make time. No Gilligan's Island reunion or anything on the episode yesterday.
I know.
Okay.
I couldn't describe my own in great detail.
No. I know. I probably couldn't either. Just, you know?
I keep asking.
I can describe Rob's in great detail.
Well, and in Rob Spiewak and Mike O'Mara's case, you got to be able to see something to describe it. Anyway,
mythology.
Yes.
Every picture's blurry.
I've heard. Yeah. Looks like the Loch Ness Monster.
I've heard it's pretty.
It's like Bigfoot, only the opposite.
Littlefoot.
Somebody got a glimpse, you know? I got a glimpse of it. You know?
Stolen glance.
There it is. I saw tracks.
Ew. Oh, no.
When Roseanne came back on TV last week, it seemed to get decent reviews from all sides. But this week's episode was way more polarizing. Especially a joke about two other ABC sitcoms, Blackish and Fresh Off the Boat. Roseanne and Dan fell asleep in front of the TV, and when they woke up, Dan says, quote, we missed all the shows about black and Asian families, and Roseanne replies, they're just like us. There, now you're all caught up. No, that's fake controversy coming out of a publicist's office.
ABC.
That is not a controversy.
Yeah, because it's talking about ABC shows, too. Right. I mean, how transparent can you be?
Some people have been calling the joke racist. Yes, some people probably created in a PR department of a network television office. Mm-hmm. That's what I would think about that. Producer Bruce Helford says, it's not, quote, We were commenting on the fact that all sitcoms really want everybody to feel included of all diversities, and it's kind of a funny thing, that's all. And we're just trying to get heat.
Yeah, if you want to know what a funny thing is, start working on Blackish. Make that funny.
That's it. Absolutely. Have you watched
Racist.
Blackish?
Yeah, I don't like Blackish. I do like Fresh Off the Boat, though.
What Appreciate sitcom that. Has well, somebody that looks like Rob yeah. on it?
What detail?
Well, Roseanne,
this is us.
Yeah, this is us. No,
this is us.
No. You fell through a coffee table.
Sorry. Mike and Molly. According to a new survey,
but which one?
67% of adults say they really miss their childhood. And the average person says the best age was 9.
9.
I seem to remember that number. I think of 9 being...
What year like were you 9?
Still little. Huh? 1932.
Okay, yeah. Ah, yes. The Great Depression wasn't that
good
great.
Good year to be 9.
Yes, it was, oh, it's wonderful.
He looked like that kid at Zoomers.
Right, exactly. I remember shoes. Eating that year.
All the toys Lived made a go-kart. Of, all the toys made of wood. So what was so great? Here are the top 10 things people miss most. Number 10, weekends with no errands or chores. Number 9, eating candy. Number 8, having someone else cook your meals. Number 7, playgrounds. Number 6, family trips. 5, spending quality time with your parents. 4, not having to work. 3, playing outside with friends until it got dark. That's one from me.
That's a good one.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So we just, our parents would just let us outside. We'd play
until the streetlights would come on.
Number 2, the summers, and number 1, school vacations. Isn't that sweet? That's a little homey little.
I do remember as
I can
age,
feel the buzz in the room right now.
At age 9, summer seemed to last about 6 years. Yeah. Summer was eternal.
When I found out it was 3 months, I was like, what happened?
Yeah, that's not great.
It's scary, but it's wonderful. Carrie Underwood posted a black and white photo yesterday of herself sitting in a record studio. Now, a recording studio. Now this whole Carrie Underwood thing. Yeah. I've always said from the very beginning, they're making way too much of this accident where she messed her face up. What everyone is talking about in this photo is that you can clearly see the left side of her face. That's the side she's been hiding since she got those 40 to 50 stitches after her accident. She also didn't caption the photo, so maybe she's waiting to hear everyone say how good she looks. She looks fine. I think this has always been much ado about nothing.
Unless,
I'm not sure.
Mike, they developed the picture backwards and were really looking at the other side of her face. Aha!
Oh, my God. Yes, sir.
50 stitches. That's serious, right?
Sure.
Yeah, 50 stitches is a massive injury. That is, but you can't see anything. I saw the picture. It doesn't look like it's that big a deal.
Also, makeup, CGI.
I'm sure she's
way.
Disgusting
It's
now.
Almost time to go out on tour.
I can't look at her.
Maybe she can win The Voice. They turn around. Oh, my God. Never mind. I reset.
She's hideous.
Yes. Sanctuary. Sanctuary. 23-year-old. Oh, now a little something. Okay. Something. 23-year-old Nikita Bonilla and Natasha De Jesus Bonilla. Well, they're twins from Allentown, Pennsylvania.
Sure.
And they both recently broke up with their girlfriends, who are roommates, apparently. And both the breakups were messy. So, on Friday, around 1 a.m., Nikita Bonilla went to her ex-girlfriend's apartment to get her things. They got into an argument, and Nikita Bonilla wound up grabbing a pair of scissors and threatening her ex. Meanwhile, Natasha De Jesus Bonilla also went over to the apartment to get her stuff. And she got into a fight with her ex. So I guess both exes were at the same apartment.
Yeah.
She wound up grabbing a kitchen knife and threatened her ex, too. So both the Bonilla sisters were threatening with sharp objects their exes. The cops came and broke things up before either of the twins could start stabbing. And they were both arrested on the same charges, simple assault and making terroristic threats. And for the purpose of this kicker, I'm just going to say that they were both super hot, even though I didn't see a picture. The super hottie Bonilla sisters.
Yeah, you can bet on it.
With the knife and the scissors. That's wonderful. We'll take a break. And when we come back, it is the Audio Vault with Mr. Rob Spiewak on the Mike O'Mara Show.
Connecting is everything. Slacking is nothing.
Mailbag.
It's all about you.
Mailbag.
Birthdays.
Hooray.
Anniversaries.
Don't F it up.
Stories.
Be interesting.
Shtick.
Be funny.
Feedback.
If you ain't bitching, you ain't breathing.
Email Rob.
To me.
At MikeOMaraShow.com.
DMOS.
Your thoughts to our ears through Mike's mouth.
Creepy.
Most Tuesdays on the Mike O'Mara Show.
Mailbag.
Stay in the know. Mailbag.
Mailbag.
By TMOS.
By the bonus.
Thank you. Appreciate it. Welcome back to the Mike O'Mara Show. Do people bother you? Do little things that folks do drive you nuts? Well, they seem to not bother anyone else but you. Do you ever wonder, is it just me? Yes, if life's minor day-to-day issues make you want to stab your fellow man in the eye with a knitting needle, then the Mike O'Mara Show is here for you. Starting tomorrow. Tomorrow at 9 a.m.
Sharp.
That is Friday at 9 a.m. We will be opening our phones for a brand new call-in feature. The most original idea in the history of radio. Called Is It Just Me? The Friday phones will be open at 888-920-MORE. That's 888-920-6673. This is an experimental program.
I like
Please plan accordingly. Call with your gripes, your slights, and your fights, and we'll have a frank discussion to help you, to sympathize with you, and most importantly, to charge you. Call us Friday morning at 9 and find out if it's just you on the Mike O'Mara Show. Oscar, would you care to weigh in on this controversy about It's Just Me, these people that are out there saying, so-and-so did it on her podcast. A lot of people do this, right?
Look, you hated when we told Pony what's what. You hated when we decided to create another layer of content to the show. If you hate us, just say it. Instead of veiling it in some sort of passive-aggressive post.
Yeah. Right. And usually
buy the
it all
bonus
comes
show.
From, yeah, buy the bonus. Thank you very much. Let's open up the audio. Thank you, Oscar. That was wonderful. Let's get Rob Spiewak in here. Take it away, Rob.
We started the show by geeking out on golf a little bit. I wouldn't be doing my job if I didn't play you. This was such a great moment yesterday.
Just the grandson?
The Nicholas grandson, yeah. Now, what is the par 3 challenge? What can you explain
on
that to me?
Wednesday at Augusta, the hallowed grounds of Augusta,
sir.
They got a little par 3 course, little tiny par 3.
Where what does that mean in layman's terms?
A par 3 is a smaller course, and they're all par 3s. They're all short holes. And they have a competition on Wednesday, every Wednesday at the Masters, where they bring families and kids caddy for their dads, and they have it's a loose kind of format, and everybody, but they still play it legitimately, but they have a competition, but it's only par threes. It's much shorter, and it's a separate thing from the regular tournament, and it's a family affair. You have little kids in the Masters caddy outfits, you have wives, you have girlfriends, and they all do this. Jack Nicklaus rolls out there with his grandson. And, you know, he plays in the tournament, and then he says, hey, grandson, try your luck. And he gives, you see the grandson stand over the ball and hit the ball in his caddy outfit.
Because
they let
the
everybody
jumpsuit,
hit.
Yeah.
The grandson's probably about 17, 16,
looked,
17,
looked like it. And
something like that.
The grouping, Mike, it was Jack Nicklaus, Tom Watson, and Gary Player. It was
the
pretty
legendary
good trio,
golf guys.
Yeah.
And by the way, it's so hot this year, the Masters. So
hot
no, it's so
it?
Popular. It's so popular that... You know, the crowds are astronomical. They weren't always that way for this little thing.
Right.
And you got a big crowd up there, and Jack hands the club to his grandson and says, okay, you give it a try. Let's see what happens.
So this is Gary Nicklaus teeing it up at Augusta.
He's figured out that he doesn't need to swing at it as hard as he can.
Well, a good-looking practice swing.
He only needs to swing about 120 miles an hour. That's a good speed for him.
You got to love it.
Come on, man.
There's no way.
Yes. Come on, come on, come on, come on, come on,
go in,
come on,
go in.
Yes, 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 yeah!
All in one,
all in one.
And Jack Nicklaus tweeted later that night he would. If he could put his 6 Masters green jackets in the locker room for a while, this was one of the greatest days of his life.
That's
which was
great.
Just
that's so
just
great, so
spectacular.
Cool. That was the only ball he let him hit.
Yeah,
I think so.
My
yeah, I
God,
think that's
that
the way that goes.
Incredible,
because he's caddying for his grandfather. That's why he's there. But it's a loosey goosey kind of format. He's like, here, you give it a shot, and you know they only get one crack at it, and it was so much.
Wow.
That's the whole deal. If you're a golfer. Because you got the old and the young and mutual respect, and I think it's fantastic.
There was another hole-in-one during the par 3, a guy named Tony Finau, I think is how you pronounce his name.
Oh, my God. There's so many storylines.
Now, you got to watch. This video is on our Facebook page. The audio doesn't translate.
You're not going to really get the audio from this because the guy gets a hole-in-one. He's playing in the legitimate tournament, so
right.
He's part of the, he's one of the competitors. He gets a hole-in-one, runs off to do a celebration, and dislocates his ankle
visibly
during the celebration.
You can see it.
Oh, no.
You can see it.
It was nauseating.
But the thing is they popped it back in.
He popped it back in.
He went through a physical examination last night. He's fine. It just popped back in, but it's disgusting to see.
It was so nasty to look. It was scary.
I never play audio from Jimmy Fallon, but I thought this was sort of special because it really caught me off guard. They had Mike Myers on last night in full Dr. Evil makeup.
Oh, great.
And the setup was is that Dr. Evil has been fired from the Trump administration. So here is the interview.
Did you at least make any friends at the job?
Well, I got along swimmingly with Ben Carson.
Why is that?
We were both evil doctors and didn't know why we were there. And you remember when he spent $30,000 of taxpayer money on an office chair? Yeah, I thought that was particularly evil.
What about Don Jr.?
Don Jr., well, that guy's creepy AF. He looks like he's missing a facial feature. You just don't know which one.
So I have to doff my cap to the Fallons. That was awesome. That was good. Now, also important, Mike, I know you busy yesterday. Did you watch the 700 Club or not?
No, didn't get a chance to watch my regular viewing, unfortunately.
He's got it on his TV.
Okay, well, spoiler alert. Pat Robertson explained something that has been bothering me for years.
I know, again, nothing in the Bible about mermaids. I think they're kind of half fish and half women, and I don't think that such a creature exists.
So he doesn't think mermaids exist, but they appear to be half fish and half woman.
He's still alive, that dude?
After that clip, I don't know.
Wow.
But anyway, there's that.
It's a leap of faith.
I want to, before we close this up, I have two more I want to play. One is a pretty good Florida story. I was surprised you didn't get to it in the news. Where is Altamonte Springs?
It's near the spring.
This is a wonderful Easter story because an ex-girlfriend invited her ex-boyfriend over saying that she needed her sink fixed. But what she had done is boarded up all her windows and set him on fire.
Oh.
And so let's go to that new story.
Wait. So she asked him to come over and fix it, and then she puts the boards up and then she
had prepared for him. No, she didn't set the house on fire. She set the boyfriend on fire.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. Still got to learn in the house.
And for this audio.
Yeah, and so it goes a little something like this.
He was running down the stairs with flames on
him. This is a neighbor.
He was very frantic. His skin was literally peeling. His face had blood on it. It was a horrible, horrible situation. Screaming to the top of her lungs that she was innocent.
Had actually told him about this leak that was under her sink. When he offered to help, we saw there was some boards that were set up by every window in the apartment. It looks like she had asked help from neighbors in, switching locks. And he suffered burns on the right side of his body, also on his chest, neck, and face.
I will never get that out of my head. It was crazy.
The sad thing is they probably could have put the fire out, but the sink was broken.
Yeah.
Mm.
They're going to have some amazing makeup sex.
They are. Mike, are you familiar? Let's close with this. Are you familiar with, I think he played for the Phillies, John Kruk?
Yeah.
Yeah,
John Kruk. Okay. Well, the Phillies and the Mets were on rain delay yesterday. And,
he's a broadcaster, too.
And that, and he's in the booth, and they're padding, because that's what they do when they go on rain delay. And they said to John Kruk, what did you do to pass time during rain delays?
John Kruk.
Well, I know we're not censored here, but I can't tell you what I did during rain delays.
Wow, it was that?
Oh, I'll tell you. After the game's over. I can't mention it now. Let's put it this way. I wasn't watching any video of any pitcher.
No.
Wow.
I
imagine the producers had a fun time with that.
There might have been a catcher or two.
That is your magic audio book. Thank you. Have a great Thursday,
Rob,
everybody.
To wrap up the show, thanks for joining us for another episode. Let me get the plug in here for Rob and Joe. Go see them. They are funny with their fabulous Smooth Criminal Murder Mystery Comedy Show Wednesday, April 11th at 7:30 at the DC Improv. Tickets available at dcimprov.com. It's robinjoeshow.com for more information, robmayer.com, joerobinsoncomedy.com, all the good stuff. Gentlemen, continued success to both of
you. Thank you guys. Thanks for having us, guys.
Awesome to be here with you guys. Thank you.
Seeing you. Join us anytime. That's it for Rob Spiewak and Oscar Santana. Mike O'Mara inviting you to join us again for the best part of your day, the Mike O'Mara Show. So long, everybody.
Bye-bye.
Ciao.
Later.
Before you go, please make a mental note. Today's show was made possible by the TMOS bonus packages. You can secure yours right now by going to MikeO'MaraShow.com and clicking on the red bonus banner. Buy it or give it. Either way, you're helping out TMOS, and that's a good thing. Thank you, and go in peace.
She can describe the president's genitalia in great detail.
Mike O'Mara, Radio Entertainment.